What's the relationship between the Book of Proverbs and the Ten Commandments? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. It's a new 10-lesson Bible study produced by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt of Provoking Proverbs at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. 1-800-325-3040.
This is something the Christians need to really be aware of, the many, many propaganda techniques that are utilized against us. And deflection is one of the most important.
Everywhere I went talking to people, every one of them said that if people in the West are not willing to die for their faith, then they're not going to withstand what's coming.
Saying the truth about your sin and yourself, that you're not righteous, that you're not good, that you are a sinner, that you are in need of God's mercy and grace, that's a biblical way of being authentic before God.
To say, "Thus says the Lord," is actually an act of humility, because it gives the glory and the deference to Him, to His word.
Farmers in South Dakota, listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
The promise that God first made to Abraham was that He would make of him a great nation. He gave Abraham one son to carry out that task, just one, very late in his life. Well, that one son grew up and married, and he had two sons, twins, in fact, Jacob and Esau. So God was getting off to a very slow start. But while those twins were still in the womb, the mother was told, "There are two nations in your womb, but only one of those nations would be the nation of the promise that was made to Father Abraham." And they turn out to be very different men, often at each other's throats, deceiving one another, but eventually reconciled. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson going through the story of Jacob and Esau with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Glenn Stanton will join us after that. We'll be talking with him about Japan Airlines' decision to use gender-neutral titles when addressing their flyers. Keith Ackerman, former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois, joins us to talk about a story out of the Episcopal Church. An Episcopal bishop is found guilty of opposing same-sex rights. They're supposed to be optional. Turns out they're kind of mandatory. Bill McKeever will be our guest. We'll talk about the omission of the angel Moroni from Mormon temples. You'll see that image at the top of their spires. Some of the new temples don't have him there. We'll find out why. And then it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson to talk about Jacob and Esau, Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why does God make a distinction between these twin boys, these two brothers, Jacob and Esau?
To answer that question, I really need to quote God. And you really helped the beginning of it. When Isaac got married, he was 40 years old, but Rebecca, his wife, never seemed to get pregnant. And so God heard Isaac asking that she would be pregnant, and she finally did conceive. But what she conceived were two children struggling together within her. And she asked, "If all is well, why am I this way with all this struggling?" And here's what the Lord said to her. As you indicated, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be the stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Now, that's really kind of interesting, that the older, who will be Esau, will serve the younger, who is Jacob. It kind of reminds us of another Sunday school lesson we had where Joseph had a dream that all his brothers, including father and mother, would be bowing down before him. And that was really an unusual dream for Joseph to have and to share with them. It didn't make him friends with his brothers. You'll recall they sold him into slavery, etc. So here's something where God prophesied ahead of time that the younger will be being served by the older, which means Jacob, the younger, would be served by Esau.
Now, the struggle begins in the womb, and then because the birthright belongs to the oldest child, already we have kind of the origins of Jacob's name he grasps, even in the story of their birth.
And in fact, when Esau first came from the womb, the Bible says that he was like a hairy garment all over. And so they called his name Esau, which means hairy. But then when Jacob came out, he held Esau's heel. And so his name was called Jacob, which means supplanter. And Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah bore those two children. Esau, the hairy one, became a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a milder man, dwelling in tents. So we get the next kind of controversy where the father, Isaac, loved Esau because of the gain that he was able to provide his father with, but Rebekah loved Jacob. That could be because he was around the tents more often and such. And so what we have here is problem number two. The first time they're struggling in the womb, the next struggle is between, well, one being loved by the father and one being loved by the mother. Parents are very careful these days not to say, I love child number one better than child number two, et cetera, because they may appreciate one child who may have certain talents, et cetera, but the love should be the same between all the children, and this wasn't happening with Isaac and Esau. So we now run into problem number three. Jacob had cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field. He was really tired, and he said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom, the Bible says. This is verse 30 of chapter 25. What does Edom mean? It's the word for red, and that he was going to eat this red stew. But Jacob said, well, I'll give you some of this if you sell me your birthright as of this day. As you had mentioned, the birthright normally goes to the older son. So Esau says, well, look, I'm so hungry, I'm about to die. So what profit shall this birthright be to me? And Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. And that's what Esau did. He swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob for a pot of stew. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. He ate and drank, arose and went his way. And the Bible says, the end of verse 34, therefore Esau despised his birthright. You see, he lost faith that God would still take care of him. And this is at the bottom of many problems that occur in a family. But this is kind of only the beginning. We've seen three of them. They fight in the womb. Then the father loves one, the mother loves the other. And then Jacob is able to get the birthright from Esau because Esau is hungry, and therefore he supplants Esau again by having his birthright sold to him for a pot of stew.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jacob and Esau. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Stay tuned.
was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
At Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia, you will hear God's Word faithfully preached every Sunday. We invite you to join our growing family of believers this week and every week for Education Hour beginning at 9 a.m., followed by Divine Worship at 10 a.m. For more information, find us on the web at oursavior-lcms.org. That's oursavior-lcms.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
We're talking about Jacob and Esau, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We follow the course of a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Enduring Faith. They have this thing called the Christ Connection. Here it is for Jacob and Esau. Though we are often unfaithful, Jesus is always faithful. He obeyed his Father's will, giving his life for us so that our relationship with God and with one another could be restored. Because these Old Testament stories are ultimately there to show us and point us toward Christ and his fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham. That's something that runs through this Sunday school curriculum called Enduring Faith. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Call Concordia Publishing House and request a free sample so you can see for yourself. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Enduring Faith. So, Tom, what we have here already, and this isn't the whole story, of course, of Jacob and Esau. There's much more that follows in the other chapters, but we have parents, children. It's a pretty dysfunctional family. How does God nonetheless work through this?
God has promises to every family, and the CPH material does pretty good in talking about some children have two parents, some have a single parent because either there was a divorce or one of the parents died, etc. And they make the point that God's promises are to take care of every kind of family. Now, it's far better to have two parents, as we've discovered, a father and a mother, male and female, because those often who do not have two parents and are not attending church often end up in crime and other things. So attending church, receiving baptism, later on the Holy Sacrament of the Lord's Supper really helps a person to get through the suffering which happens. And that's what God does even with his family. He does not appreciate the lies that are going on, especially the big lie. The second part of the Sunday school lesson is 45 verses long. And to summarize real quickly. Isaac calls Esau, says, I'm getting old. I want to bless you. Go make me some food like you always do. Rebecca was listening to that conversation, and she goes to her favorite son, Jacob, says, I'm going to make some food for you, and you take it in to Isaac. And Jacob says, well, wait a minute. My brother is a hairy man. I'm a smooth-skinned man. What if my father feels me? So the mother says, let any curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. And of course, she soon was going to find out what the curse would be because Jacob had to flee from Esau, and he was gone for many years. At any rate, he went and he got some lambs that she cooked and then dressed him in the clothes of her elder son Esau and put them on Jacob and put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands so that he felt like he was hairy. So he went into his father. He said, here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. What a lie. I've done as you told me. I've got food. Isaac said, how'd you find it so quickly? Because the Lord your God brought it to me. Then he asked Jacob to come towards him, not knowing it's Jacob, that he could feel him, whether you are really my son Esau or not. He went near his father. And here's what Jacob says. This is verse 22 of chapter 27. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. This is how old Isaac was getting, that he couldn't see hardly at all. And he did not recognize him. So he blessed him. And he then ate of the game. And he blessed him with a wonderful blessing that should have gone to the firstborn son. But remember, God had said that the older son would be led by the younger son. So at any rate, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, Jacob had hardly gone out of the house. And Esau, the brother, came in from his hunting. And he had made the food that Isaac had asked him to make. He said, who are you? Isaac asked. He said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. Verse 33, Isaac trembled exceedingly. That's really important. This happens in families. And where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I not only ate of it before you came, but I blessed him. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. And Isaac says to Esau, indeed, I have made Jacob your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you? Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Isaac answered, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So that's the only blessing that Esau got. Now, Esau really hated Jacob because of this. And therefore he says, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Well, guess what? Rebecca heard that. So she says to Jacob, surely your brother comforts himself concerning over you by intending to kill you. Therefore, obey my voice, rise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran. And that starts a whole different kind of thing. What we see here is a family that, at least in these incidents, are not trusting the word of God. Even though Rebekah was told, and I'm sure she told it to Isaac, that God said that the older will serve the younger, boy, Isaac is still angry that he wasn't able to give the blessing over Esau because he loved him more than he loved Jacob. And so this would be a great, well, what CPH does here, which is really good, they have the kids write about good things that are happening in their family and bad things that they happen either in their family or other families. And then the Sunday school teacher has the ability to share Bible verses with them, and they're well listed in the CPH material here in order to help any child go through a difficult time or when they're not going through a difficult time to help them learn it's the Lord that is helping them. The one verse they use is Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So there's a lot here that God is still in control of, because it is through these people that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to come. And even though they are terrible sinners, God makes sure that he keeps his promises.
Finally, with about a minute here, Tom, what is the law and gospel of this story of Jacob and Esau?
The law is, and every one of us who have grown up with parents, we tend to lie and try to deceive them, manipulate them, and not really trust God and follow his word. But the gospel is, as we recognize the lies and deceit we've done, we confess it as sins for which we alone are responsible. And because of the Christian faith that teaches righteousness comes by believing the promises of God, not by doing good works, we have all of our sins forgiven, and the promise from Romans 8:28 that all things are still working for our good.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you.
When we return, Glenn Stanton, Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, will be our guest. We're going to talk to him about a move by Japan Airlines to address its flyers with, well, no longer ladies and gentlemen, anything but ladies and gentlemen. Why is it important? We'll find out next. Next up in our silent auction, the mic stand, and headphones from the Old Issues Etc. studio. You can place your bid by sending an email to lynn@issuesetc.org or by calling Lynn at 618-223-8385. You can view these items at facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll announce the highest bid on Wednesday, October the 7th, and the winner on Friday, October 9th. Proceeds benefit the new studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and the Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, writes St. Paul in his opening salvo to the Galatians. There is indeed no other gospel than that which we taught to you. And that's what the October issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about, the gospel proclaimed to you through the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Visit witness.lcms.org. LutheranWitness.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The world is filled with darkness now. It's maybe darker than it's ever been before.
Issues, Etc. guest Dr. Adam Kuntz.
The reason to come to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and to study to be a pastor is so that the light of Christ can shine that much more brightly. It's not a time for retreat. It's not a time for hiding. It's a time to hear the Lord's call and to come out and to serve Him, to shine His light into very dark places in people's souls, in people's lives, throughout our nation and throughout the world.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.